show. Is it a sandwich? If I called a hot dog a sandwich, do you think that you'd be fine with it? If not, then why? Let's bust this wide. Mary, Carrie, Kelly, Matt, oh my, is a sandwich? Well, let's decide.
Mary, Carrie.
Hang on.
You're Matt for today. So, Matt, don't use this part of the recording. Carrie, begin. How are you going to start us off?
Oh, I really have to do the Matt thing. Oi. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, Matt, use this part. It'll sound really profesh for episode 8.
Okay. Ooh, it's sad that Matt Ardill isn't here because Carrie doesn't have all the sound effects Matt does. But if Matt was here, he would say things like wiener and schwurst and hot dog and dachshund and things like that about hot dogs. So here we are on Order Up.
Oh my goodness. Dad's away, aka Matt Ardill. So Carrie and Kelly are here just keeping the house warm. Mary is also away. But Carrie, I have access to Matt's sound effects. So.
No, I'm so excited. Play ball.
So perfect for hot dogs.
And get a hot dog. There we go. That's it.
Well, friends, Kelly Zubnick is here along with Carrie Haim. Matt and Mary are both out collecting as many antacids as possible because a season full of hot dog talk and a season because it is number 10. I need some Pepsid AC and Gastrex and whatever.
Yes, Gaviscon. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So Carrie, I have to give an update to the listeners.
Yes.
As you and I both know, everybody's been switching teams and changing answers and going both ways plenty in this season. Innuendo aplenty. I had to redo the totals. I was listening to the episodes. I'm like, I think Kelly's fucking up because I was getting so confused.
Math is hard.
So I'm going to let everyone know, as of right now, the start of episode 8, Team Yes is in the lead.
Yes, meaning a hot dog is a sandwich.
Correct. Quasi-scientific study of calling only the coolest people.
That's right.
Including ourselves. We've got Team Yes in the lead because Ben, my lovely friend Ben from New York, who runs A Man and His Sandwich Tours, convinced me it was a fucking sandwich.
Right. And
I know, but...
I know, and I think this is the first time you and I have both flipped in all of the seasons. Like, because usually we make our decision and we're pretty, set. Exactly. But that Ben Golan, man, you got to go to New York and go on his tour.
It's and such a good tour.
Everything's a sandwich to him.
I know. I still think the city is abuzz from his saying a taco was a sandwich. I don't think any of us are over that.
We don't want to go down that road again. It's too painful.
It's his husband thinks
I know.
It's the whole thing. I know. Our guest listeners is looking at me like, what the fuck have I logged into?
He'll be okay. We'll take care of him. Don't you worry.
We're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Carrie and Kelly are here. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Carrie, was told Matt had left you with some cool hot dog facts. Can you get them on the grill?
Matt always finds really, really good facts. And actually, this first fact is something that I've always wondered about. And I never bothered to look it up. And I don't know why, but now I have an answer. So, you know, in England, people have something that we're going to have some bangers and mash.
Yes.
Bangers and mash. Bangers and mash. And I'm always like, what the hell is a banger and mash? Like, I guess the mash is mashed potato, which it is, but what's a banger? So it's a sausage. Why is it called a banger? Well, I will tell you. British sausages are sometimes called bangers because during World War II, sausages are made of all the meat that is kind of left over, but they had super high water content because there was all this rationing and not a lot of meat. So there was a lot of water content, and they often burst or banged when they were cooked. They were called bangers because they sort of exploded. I guess the water inside them boiled and poof. Right. And the name stuck. And now we have bangers, which is very cool. And now I know what it is. Now, if I ever go to England, I used to think I'm not ordering that, but I totally would order that. And there's another one. This is an American one. There's all these weird names for hot dogs. We know there's sausages and there's wurst and all these different things, but there's a regional hot dog. We've talked about the steamy, for example, from Montreal, but there's one in New Jersey called the Ripper, which sounds very violent. So what this is, it's a hot dog and it is deep fried in oil until the skin rips open, and I quote, and becomes crispy as heck.
Okay.
That actually sounds good to me. It sounds super unhealthy, but.
It does. I mean, it explains a deep fried turkey
at
the holidays.
I guess. But it's called a ripper. Yeah. Huh.
I feel like bangers and mash and a ripper could all be porn names.
Not ska band names this time. Not today.
I thought I'd switch it up. I'd be like, it's not a porn star name.
That's good. That's good.
Mash and Ripper.
So I feel like I've learned a lot already.
I think so. Well, that's good. Our bellies are filled with facts.
Yes.
It's a good thing. I think I got to do the sound effect again. Let's go.
Woohoo!
Yay! Okay. Alrighty. It is time to get into it, everyone. It is episode 8 of season 10 of Order Up. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, Carrie Haim.
Uh-huh.
Who is our guest today? Do tell.
I'm excited. So this gentleman is a Guyanese-born comedian. He is based in Toronto, where both Kelly and Carrie here, and Matt, the missing Matt, are based. He has a unique observational style coupled with vibrant storytelling. He is a favorite in Toronto here. He's performed all over Canada. He's a member of The Comedy Lab, which is Canada's only Black-owned comedy club. We are very excited and proud to welcome Cliff Knight.
Yay!
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. That honestly is a taco sandwich is offensive. To someone who has a 65-day streak on Duolingo Spanish, I feel like I feel like things cannot be worse. I don't know what I've gotten myself into, but I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
You gotta be ready.
I tell you, Cliff, when it was brought up by one of our guests, everybody was just like, what? And then we had another guest who confirmed the possibility. And I was like, I know there's a lot of things that are controversial in the world, but come on.
Let's not even, what are we talking about here?
Like, yeah.
What are we talking
about? It's beyond the beyonds, as the elderly say. Yeah.
It felt like they were trolling, you know what I mean? It's something that really only happens online, you know? When you had a friend who just wanted to piss you off, you would just say they're a contrarian, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's somebody is literally like doing everything they can to raise your blood pressure. That's a troll. That's a troll.
I got to ask you, Cliff, before we get to the questions, one of our co-hosts, Mary Kennedy, will shortly be off to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. You've done it. What was the food scene like over there? Do you remember? Oh, did you eat much?
I did eat a lot. To be honest, there's not a whole like huge amount of choice, not like Toronto. Like we've been spoiled.
Yeah.
Toronto has some of the best food culture in the world. Edinburgh, there was a lot of like, obviously, like I had haggis and coffee for breakfast every day. Like,
no way.
It was fine. It's just, it's spam. It's basically spam. But there was a lot of ham sandwiches. You'll see a lot of that. For sure. I And then there's, you know, there's places where you could get like a shawarma.
Oh.
Like it's not the same as Toronto. They're very heavy on the salt over there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it is Scotland. certain things I didn't get to try. Apparently, Indian food is great.
Oh,
that's one thing
okay.
I did not get a chance to try while I was there because I was like, it's so weird. Like, Indian food in Toronto is like usually kind of like street food. Whereas when you go to Britain, Indian food's like gourmet.
Right.
That's what you tend to see is like sit down restaurants that will have Indian food. Whereas like we have that here, but like you can also just grab like a curry on the corner. I didn't see a whole lot of that when I was there. So hopefully she survives her time.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Mary Kennedy has a lot of rules about food and a lot of, so we're just praying for her.
Yeah, we're just very concerned. We hope the people of Scotland are ready for Mary Kennedy. She has a great show.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of food rules already. Well, Cliff, are you ready for our 5.5 fantastical food questions?
I really hope I am. I'm not super sure. but listen, my mama there is no quitter.
That is a smart woman right there. So we got your back. Okay, here we go.
Alrighty, here we go. Question number one, Cliff. What is the best sandwich?
Ooh, this is very subjective, I would say, in the first place. Because to me, different sandwiches have different uses, different purposes. Like a good breakfast sandwich is going to be very different from a lunchtime sandwich, from a dinner sandwich, from an on-the-road sandwich.
From a sandwich to share,
you know, situation. Like, I would say one of the best, like, all-rounder sandwiches that I get, like, when I'm on the road, it's usually going to be, like, chicken salad. That's, like, you know, it's widely available. It's going to be just heavy enough to get me to the next meal, but, like, light enough that I could eat it, but then still eat more if I needed to. The flavor is sort of middle of the road, but that means that I can add a lot of sauces.
Right.
Anybody who's listened to my stand-up knows I'm about sauces.
Do you travel with sauces? Are you one of these people who like will pull a sauce out of their pocket at a restaurant?
100%. And I went to Cuba a couple of years ago, and it's the one thing people tell you to do is to take your own sauce because they don't have. There was no like mustard available for me, like barbecue sauce. I took some tamarind sauce. I took my own hot sauce.
Yeah,
things like that. Honestly, one of the best all-rounder sandwiches that I'll have, that I'll see, that I'll make will be a grilled chicken sandwich with spinach, tomatoes. If I'm feeling kind of freaky, then maybe we'll add some like pickles. And then like a sliced onion. Let's go there.
You know what? I'm just sorry. I'm picturing Cliff with like a trench coat, and he's going to a restaurant, and it's like those guys, and he opens it up. And as he opens it, there's like all these little compartments inside.
Yes.
And he's not selling watches, but he's got a variety of sauces and condiments with him at all times. I love
it. It's just me going around the restaurant feeling saucy. And
we just made his new character.
Yo, 100%.
Mr. Sauce.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
You got that sauce.
You got the sauce.
I think feeling saucy could be the title of this episode.
I love it. I love it.
No, I'm going to keep that for my upcoming tour.
I think that would be great. You take it. You use that.
I love it. I love it. Do you think a Cliff Knight sauce line for
I was just thinking of that. He's going to brand his own sauce.
I was thinking about this because my show, Heatwave Comedy, we have a hot sauce sponsor. The sauce that sponsors is called Angry Mike's Hot Sauces. And recently his Salsa Verde, not so hot sauce, it won an award In, I want to say, North Carolina, which is where they do sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They do. And then he had another, like, some sort of Reaper type sauce that also won an award. So I was this close. I'm this close to getting my own sauce.
It's going to happen. I feel it.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Question number two, Cliff. Now, this is a sandwich that I found on the internet. So if it's on the internet, it must be true.
Oh my God, I'm scared.
Why would they lie? Would you eat a pineapple mayo sandwich?
Ooh. I probably would. It would come down to the bread.
Oh.
Actually.
What would be the bread?
It depends on how it's prepared, because like a lot of times, for instance, when you put pineapple on pizza, what they tend to do is they make the pizza, they put the pineapple on, and then they bake the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get some of the flavor from the pineapple soaks into the crust, but also you lose a lot of the moisture and flavor of the pineapple. So to me, if I were to do this as like a mayo and mayo and pineapple sandwich, I can't even. You can't even keep a straight face.
We'll let you add some of your sauce.
I'll have to probably add some sauce to be able to survive it. Sorry, my light is doing a whole thing.
That's right okay.
Now. That's okay, listeners. Cliff looks great.
Just making sure that I have.
I'm going to have. Enough. I'm going to have this sandwich on episode 10, Carrie.
Are you really? Are you going to grill the pineapple, or are you going to do it just kind of fresh?
I don't know yet. I thought maybe I'd just go fresh. But okay. I think it might be better grilled.
I do too.
Yes. I do. That's definitely.
I feel like it might be better grilled because it's going to be a little caramelized.
Yeah. And it'll be mushy too.
So if it's just straight pineapple mayo, like that feels like a depression food. that feels like kitchen sink. You know what I mean? You go into your fridge and you just grab whatever's there.
Yeah.
I think if it were. Grilled pineapple with like some seasoning, a little bit of like adobo seasoning, some paprika on it. You do a double set, maybe even in the air fryer or something, and you have some toasted. Okay, this is where it gets crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Some toasted raisin cinnamon bread.
Oh my God!
Oh, good call.
Right with a spread of mayo, as well as the other side is gonna have a spread of hummus. And you put those together with the grilled seasoned pineapple. That's your sandwich.
I'm going to make that.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it on our IG story.
That actually sounds pretty good.
I'm going to make the Cliff Night. We're calling that the Cliff.
The Cliff.
To be honest, if it was the Cliff making it, I would probably throw in, it would have to be some like marbled white cheddar. So it's like, and then grill it, like re-grill that. So that's a grilled cheese, pineapple, mayo, and hummus.
I'm making it.
Okay, do it.
I'm going to make that when this episode comes out. That will be our IG story. I love it. My brother just gave me, he had kept, you know, we're kids of the 80s. So we had something called a Snack Master.
Oh.
And a Snack Master made like little, like a hot pocket, so to speak. Like you just put your sheets of bread in.
The thing. Okay, yeah.
I remember that. Yes. Yeah.
So Kev gave me our Snack Master back because he found it in his house. I'm making it on the Snack Master. That's going down.
That's great.
That sounds like the right decision.
There we go.
I think so. I love this. Okay.
You know what? I wasn't even sure what this podcast was. And it turns out it's exactly what I do. Because like sometimes I'll make something or I'll put something together and my girlfriend will be like, what is your stomach made of? And I'm like, I don't know.
Cliff, we're all about unhinged food hilarity over here at Order Up. So you're right in. You fit right in.
I found my people.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Question number three. We're dipping into a bit of true or false. Okay. Here we go. True or false, Cliff. Toronto's Winter Garden Theater had its walls cleaned using bread dough during its reopening.
I'm sorry, what?
you ever been to the Wintergreen Theater in Toronto?
I think I have. Yes, it's not like Yonge Street. It's like Yonge and and you know what? This is the sort of thing like that's so ridiculous. I'm gonna say yes. I have no idea, but I'm gonna say yes because I hope so. I hope that's a thing that they did.
Well, Cliff, I used to work there, and it is true.
Oh, what? Yeah. Why? What's the purpose of doing that?
So I don't know. I know there's an Instagram story that was recently posted, and I can't think of when the Winter Garden Theater was closed, but the Elgin and Winter Garden is the only double-decker theater left
that's made
on
out
the
of
planet.
Gingerbread.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the only double-decker theater left on the planet. At one point, they closed the Winter Garden and just kept the Elgin Theater in operation. Then when they decided to reopen it, it was filled of crap and dust and things. But this beautiful, intricate paint and these beautiful garden designs on the walls were cleaned using Wonder Bread.
Yeah. Okay. Now that I think about it a little bit, because I do remember a thing about this. It wasn't even a building. It was like paintings that were cleaned with like some sort of gum. Like
So it's a painter's tool. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Just imagining just scores of bakers coming in, kneading a bunch of dough, and then slapping it on the wall and be like, here we go. We're making it, and then we'll bake it. I was like, where are we going with this? Wonder Bread. Okay. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite facts about that theater. The other one, which has nothing to do with food, but if you go there, right above the stage, there is a light. It's painted on the wall to look like an old timey, street lamp. When they turned the lights on, that thing came on after like, I don't know, 80, 90
Wow.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Toronto theaters are haunted.
Totally.
I mean, haunted. Have you been to Yonge and Queen? Everything's
there. Yes, that's true. But it's home. It's haunted, but it's home, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. There's one time I was walking past that intersection and this beautiful family, like black, I'm pretty sure they're like Nigerian. They walk up to me and I don't really know my way around the mall. I kind of avoid it. And the dad comes up to me and he's like, hello, good afternoon. Do you know how to get into the Saks Fifth Avenue? And I was like, you're asking me the most expensive question. That is way out of my tax bracket. How to get into the... And I didn't... And at the time, there was like construction. So like, I don't know. And apparently you have to go into the mall and then use the bridge to cross into that building into the Saks Fifth Avenue. But I was like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then I turn around to like ask someone how... Because I want to help him. And then I turn back around and they're gone.
What?
So they didn't either. They never existed, or they were ninjas.
Oh,
Nigerian ninjas.
Nigerian ninjas.
It's a new cartoon series.
That's gonna be my ska band.
It does sound like a great band name, doesn't it?
Oh man! Well, now, friends, if you tried to get into the Saks Fifth Avenue, it would be haunted because it's closed.
It's so closed,
Because
who was buying diamonds like that?
I don't know. I don't go into these places. Yeah,
no. I have a friend who just goes to these places for fun, and she like walks around and meets people. Like when Nordstrom was still open, she would just go in and make friends.
Like,
retail workers, they don't want friends. They want
you to leave
them the fuck alone.
I got a gift card from, I'm a school teacher in the daytime, and I got a $50 gift card from a family to go to the Nordstrom's, and I'd never ever walked into Nordstrom's ever, and I held on to it for about 2 years, and then finally I said, I better spend this thing, but I walked in and I said, what am I going to buy like one sock?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
You're going to ask the manager to push you into the elevator. That's
not my thing. Yeah.
All right. We got another true or false question for you, Cliff. Subway's most popular sub is the Italian BMT. Is it named after an actual subway line?
Like here in Toronto? Or some subway line ever?
Well, some subway line. Yeah.
I don't even know what BMT stands for. like the Italian BMT, the bacon, the bacon maron and tomatoes.
What was that?
The bacon maron and tomatoes. So I don't know. Is that a subway line in like New Jersey? Like, what are we talking about? BMT and subway. I'm gonna say false, because the town that I recall subway originating in had no public transit because it's in America. So
okay,
yeah.
Well, Cliff Knight, you were wrong.
Oh, Mamma Mia!
It's true. It is named after Brooklyn Manhattan Transit. Mm-hmm. Which is a New York subway line that no longer exists.
Oh.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Manhattan Transit. So it just goes between the two?
Well, like the New York lines, they were owned by different companies. And so BMT was a subway line at one point. It could have been merged over to like the MTA or something.
And was it run by Italians?
Sure. Yeah. And they made subs, while they were fixing things.
Michael Cheese and Corleone.
Yes, a slice of your meatball. Oh, we're gonna get canceled.
It's because Italian food is the best. It's delicious.
Italians don't listen to podcasts. I know this. I have some
don't
listen to podcasts.
Oh no.
Oh man. All right. Well, question number five, Cliff. Is our thesis statement for the year, our question of the season, the pinnacle. I don't know what I'm saying. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Technically yes, culturally no.
Oh,
because format wise, you have the bread, you have the meat, you have the spreads, the toppings. That is a sandwich, sure. But the spirit of a sandwich is that it is held together and secure, and so you can eat it. And the hot dogs just are not that. Hot dogs specifically have that open end.
I think this is the best answer we've had.
It's our best answer. So it's a yes and a no. You can answer both, Cliff.
I guess, but like if people want to argue about it, I'll be like, yeah, have it as a sandwich, but it's not like it's a cousins, not sisters, you know, situation.
Love it.
It's in the family, but not like immediate family. Like it comes over for the reunion. You know what I mean? It's not.
And it sits over there at the kids' table. Yeah.
Yeah. Or no, it doesn't even come inside. It just it hangs outside.
It's on the window.
Yeah, it's camper trailer all day.
Oh, that's, my God.
It goes to the baseball game. Because notice, they don't sell sandwiches at the baseball game.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Even when I go to the Rogers Center or whatever, you have to go to one of those restaurants to get an actual sandwich.
Yeah.
If anything, the hot dog has separated itself from the sandwich family. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, it's all the same type of elements. Because like,
so
when
it's
you think
emancipated.
About it.
It's emancipated from the sandwich family.
It's emancipated.
The emancipation of the hot dog. That's the title of this episode, Matt.
Emancipation of the hot dog? Yes.
I like this.
All right. A vote no. I love it.
No, you don't have to be a car to stand in the garage.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Love this.
I love it. Bonus question to that. Your best assumption, Cliff Knight. What the hell is in a hot dog?
Oh, like in like the sausage mm-hmm. itself.
What yeah. are you gonna guess?
Like all of us.
It's all of humanity rolled into one. Yeah.
Have you seen Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yes.
Yes.
I fully thought because yeah, they were teasing it with the hot dog fingers and everything like that. And then there was the everything bagel. And so I was like, okay, are we going to merge these concepts? And it never came. Still a great movie, but I was a little disappointed at that. Yeah, I mean, inside of the hot dog, like they've told us, it's all the meat and bone and gristle and stuff that you don't want. I can't tell you how many times I bought a hot dog on the streets of Toronto, mm-hmm. and there's a little piece of bone in there.
That, no. You know,
it's happened so many times.
Carrie. I've never had that. Like, oh.
And I don't know, I'm Caribbean. We eat bones. It's fine, you know what I mean? You bite into a chicken bone or whatever. It's totally fine, but it's like, it's really inconvenient when you're eating a hot dog on the street. And then you gotta be like, ugh. And you just look like that person. And people don't like it. No. So, yeah, I already know what's in there, but like, it's a sausage. That's what's
yeah.
in there.
Yeah.
And it's still delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we know what's in there. And people get hot dogs on the streets of Toronto all the time because they're awesome.
I'm really convinced as soon as you stop thinking about what your food is, you're so much happier. Yeah. You're so much happier.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
it
so
just, yeah.
Forget yeah.
about it. No. No,
mm-hmm. Forget a about dog, it.
Forget about it.
A hot dog may contain joy. That's what it is.
And a hot dog may contain joy.
Team No inches up. Yes is still in the lead, but with Cliff's brilliant answer, I think that goes in our Hall of Fame.
Agreed. Agreed. I love this.
The Hot Dog Hall of Fame?
Yeah. we'll send it over. Yeah, Team No just inches up, but Yes is still winning.
Okay.
We still have two episodes left in this season.
It's going to be a close one.
Both, yeah, it's
going to be a close. Yeah,
I think people who've answered yes, it's a little bit of a lazy answer, just because like yes, it's bread and meat, but like if you think about the original, like the Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah.
Yes. So sandwich is from a place. Sandwich. Mm-hmm. Germany, I believe. And there is it
England?
I thought it was England. England.
I think it's
Germany
England.
Is Hamburg. That's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
Which a hamburger is a sandwich.
Back to season one. That was our season one question. Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. Hot dog. A burrito is not. A quesadilla could be. But it doesn't know the language, so it's disqualified.
That's a quesadilla is a cousin by marriage.
Yeah. Yes. You go to the quinceañera,
but like you're on the tree. But
well, 100%.
But you're not getting any inheritance.
Like
right? Yeah.
Doubles like roti, a roll of roti, definitely not a sandwich. No Caribbean or Indian person will ever accept that.
No.
And yes, they will start a new war about it. Yeah.
Well, we'll wait till the current wars are done.
Oh, and then
we'll start a new one. Yeah, okay, sure.
Oh, man, that's a great answer. And with that, friends, as I say, Team Yes is still winning, but not by as much.
Mm-hmm.
And next time, we're going to go to episode 9. Episode 10's coming up, and then we're going to wrap up season 10. It's crazy, Carrie.
It's going so quickly, Kelly.
It's going so quickly.
I'm
going
to be sad.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But going forward, we're going to do something different with Order Up.
That's right.
But the way we're doing it now will end. But just meandering. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Cliff, where can folks find you to come see a show? Hopefully one day buy some of your sauce.
all show and sauce related inquiries. You can find me on Instagram, Cliffy So Funny. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everywhere. OnlyFans, no. different name on OnlyFans, but Yeah, you can find me on there. You can find me on Gig Salad. That is where you should find me and book me, and I will come and make that mayo pineapple sandwich.
I am also on Gig Salad. You can message me too. Cliff and I can fight it out.
There you go.
We'll do that. I provide so many services. I need to add this one. I used to do this during the pandemic. If you pay me $100, I will show up to your house and install a bidet. I will do it.
Oh my God.
Just necessary. Oh.
I have a bidet.
I also have a bidet.
And it's the best thing ever. 100%. It's the best.
Isn't it life-changing?
I've put one in every apartment I've moved into.
You know what?
It's the best thing.
It's so good. I got it because I had surgery and couldn't move my arms well.
Oh,
and I'm like, where has this been all my life? Really? I think, Cliff, do you talk about bidets in your set? Because you should.
I used to. It gets old real fast, and then the audience is too much of an active imagination, and then it gets off the rails. You know what I mean? And then so many people already have. Andrew Packer probably has the best bidet joke. You should go check that out.
Okay, I'm gonna look him up.
I won't even bother with mine.
Okay.
Oh man. Well, listeners, we'll catch you next time.
The power's going to red.
Order Up is hosted and produced by Matt Ardill,
Mary Kennedy,
Larry Hain,
Kelly Zemeckis.
And original music is by Rebecca McDonald.